Making up after an argument can be difficult, whether it's with a partner, parent, child, family member or friend. So what should we be doing after an argument, or not doing, as the case may be? Well, joining me with advice on how to behave if tempers become heated during the stress of the coming weeks is psychologist Alison Keating, author of It's All Too Much. Welcome to Supercharged, Alison.
Thank you so much.
Delighted to have you here. Let's get into it all in a second. But before that, let's have a listen to some people's personal experiences and stories and even advice that's come in.
I don't think it's that difficult to make up after an argument. I think if the two people involved are good at communicating with each other and there has been open communication throughout the entire relationship, I don't think it should be an issue.
So I think it's difficult to articulate and put into words after an argument how you're feeling and to like get across the person that you obviously want to make up and stuff.
I find that when you are having an argument with someone, it's the best opportunity you have to actually connect with that person and be vulnerable about your needs and wants, and that actually should improve the relationship moving forward.
Yeah, sometimes if you're trying to find someone else's perspective after an argument, like sometimes the most important thing is just giving them the floor to speak to and listening to them, because if you don't get their perspective, then you're always going to be in, like, not in the know about what actually was happening. And listening to them is more important than, you know, whatever you're arguing about anyway beforehand. Whenever you get into an argument, it's easy just to start to defend yourself and to feel like you have to keep defending yourself. But then obviously after a while, you have to take the bigger picture of it and like think of the time you had with them or the relationship or the friendship it was, and that there's more important things that are there than what an argument sort of led to.
It depends on who I have the argument with. If it's with, you know, someone I have like a deep connection with, I'd say it would be generally a bit easier, you know. Like with my mother, for example, I wouldn't, kind of more hard to make up after an argument. Or for someone like, you know, my best friend or my girlfriend or something, I still find it quite hard to hold myself accountable sometimes. So I think it's hard, but it's doable. I think it's necessary. So I always, you know, try to do it, you know.
So it depends on how much people were hurt in the argument, I feel. It also depends, I feel, on people's maturity and people's outlook on it, if the other person is considered. I feel sometimes people are so caught up in how they feel and how upset that they are that they forget maybe how their actions could have hurt other people too. Depending on what the argument is, it can be quite difficult to get over depending on how hurt someone is, because things can linger, and even when you forgive, sometimes it's difficult to forget.
Alison, lots to unpack there. Mm. There's lots of different themes coming up and that we're going to deal with in the next while in the chat. But I suppose let's dive in first of all and say, like, what's the first thing you should do after an argument?
I'd say go for what I call a stompy walk, right?
Okay.
And be really, like, normally people are angry, right? And I think sometimes we're just too quick to kind of, you know, conceptualize why am I so angry rather than actually feel what we're actually feeling. Our body actually gives us all the clues.
Mm-hmm. And I totally know what you mean when you say stomping.
Oh, yeah.
I think the onomatopoeia of that, everyone knows what you mean. Get it out. Get the emotion out.
And like just match and kind of honor how you actually feel. So sometimes if you know that anger is there, I do think of a walk where you're kind of in your head. And like after 20 minutes, you will come back a different person. So I think what's really interesting, and I suppose I would come at this again always from listen to your body. We're often trying to kind of intellectualize our emotions, but our emotions are so much more kind of elegant than that, and they just show up in our body. So it's like, what am I actually feeling? And the anger can come first because you feel like it's so unfair, and how could she say that? How could he do that? And we get into that kind of, we get stuck in that kind of rumination of like having the argument nearly in our own head. Like, do you ever have that argument that, you know, that you wanted to have?
So I could have said this and I should have said that.
And do you know what that happens?
Why?
So what happens is, say you're in an argument with someone and your body starts to flood. So basically your heart goes over 100 beats per minute. Now, you might look totally calm on the outside, but we did this in Then Comes Marriage, and we had people, their hearts, you know, hooked up. And we had a paramedic there, I remember, and one person who was doing it, they looked absolutely like nothing was going in. So we were actually initiating an argument for science purposes. And the other person was getting kind of angry. But the person's heart rate who was going through the roof was the person who looked totally calm.
So they were internalizing.
They were completely internalizing. And often women do internalize. And then the man in this situation was externally kind of like, bah, 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 and saying how he was feeling. And she was like, But looking on, and I was making him more angry, Because he's like, you know, you're not actually hearing what I'm actually saying. You don't really care. But we actually had to cut it because her heart rate was going through the roof. And she was just finding it so difficult to actually express in that moment how she actually felt. So I just think it's all about understanding kind of how our nervous system reacts. And when we go into that fight or flight, so our frontal part of our brain, it basically shuts down those beautiful things that we want to say. And when we're on that solo walk, stomping and mm-hmm. giving out, you know, rah, 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 as we're walking along.
15 years later, I'm still having those conversations. You should have said that in that argument.
But the words don't come to you because you actually block off that area of your brain, because your brain is kind of in that moment in that kind of fight or flight mode. So your body goes, we need to kind of work through what's going on right now. For some people, arguments are actually quite re-triggering for them. So say you grew up in a kind of a chaotic family mm-hmm. and where anger was, well, scary and dangerous. To another person where they never had arguments in a house like that, they're like, I only said this, but you have such a strong reaction to it. So you have a mismatch. And like some of the things that people were saying there, I loved the level of understanding.
Yeah, and maturity. Oh, the maturity was sounded quite young voices.
Such young voices, but the emotional kind of intelligence that's really was so genuine and generous in those pieces is that, you know, often in an argument, people will say, for God's sake, I only said. Mm-hmm. You're so sensitive, you know, and that will set somebody off. Whereas if we just go off what actually happened in the argument, you're never, ever going to sort out what triggered the person and what it actually brought up for them. So I think it's just about a returning to yourself, go out for that angry walk and kind of just allow your emotions to actually regulate. So say, like, if we take Christmas, for example, I do actually think sometimes there is too much heat in the kitchen, right? But actually saying it. So say you can feel the tempo changing in the room. People are getting a bit snippy. They're getting a bit impatient. Just say, look, do you know what? I'm going to step out for 5 minutes. I don't want to say something I'm going to regret. If it's okay to set up that at that moment. When you're serving up the dinner, that's not the best time. You're definitely going for a fight then. And just, you know, have that walk, come back, and then you go and talk about it when your nervous system is calm, because then you can actually have the words that you actually want to say. Because I do think the timing of an argument really, really is important in how you start an argument. So basically, you know, if you start with a, you always, you never, forget it.
We have a question in here. I fly off the handle and find myself in shouting matches with my kids. I know it's immature, but I just can't seem to stop myself. How should I try and resolve things afterwards? I do always apologise, but I feel I'm permanently hurting my relationship with them.
Okay. So first of all, I think this might be the first generation of parents who are trying to model emotional regulation. They may not have seen that modelled themselves as children. And even though the parents were doing nothing wrong, they just didn't actually, like what I heard in those, you know, voice pops was the people had the language to be able to articulate how they actually feel. It's such an actual gift, but it is a language. Whereas I think that language didn't exist beforehand. So it isn't a blame. But we do go back into those old kind of ways of reacting. And sometimes our kids are, this is not their fault, but they do trigger us because perhaps you wouldn't have responded like that to your mother or your father. So when your child feels safe enough to actually go at you and then you lose it, the question is, how long has this been building up? And I think people's capacity at this time of year, and so much goes into it. People are either, you know, hungry or they've been out or they're under stress at work. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of demands. There can be a lot of noise. So sometimes I just say to people, like, no joke, be aware of what you're actually wearing. Sometimes, like, literally open a window in the kitchen, bring the temperature down, take, you know, a layer off if possible. If you have that argument and, you know, with your child, understand what's going on for you. Have you had any space for yourself at all that day?
I know the question in all around apologies and taking responsibility and apologising for your input into a fight. But what do you do when someone doesn't apologise after a fight, even when you have? It's a good question.
It's telling you a lot, though. Mm-hmm. It's telling you about the health of your relationship. It's telling you where the other person's at. And again, it's not even a judgment piece. Some people feel apologising is like in a power battle that they've
conceding.
Lost. Yeah, there is this kind of concept. And when we look around the world, we can see that kind of, you know, I will not apologize or take responsibility. Whereas honestly, what I was hearing in the people sending in, you know, how they respond, was that there's a generosity, an ability to kind of reflect, an ability to be mature. And maturity does not come with age. You have to actually develop it. Like, I sometimes have seen kids who can be more mature than adults because they are connected and it's not so engrossed in their identity of I have to be right.
I suppose as well that you're accepting, you've apologised. You can't really control somebody
else. You can never control anyone else. But it does, like, you can't force anything. Mm. But it's kind of giving you an area of, well, this is where we are in this relationship. And then you might have to adjust accordingly.
Yeah, accept. That can be the hardest thing. We actually have a question, an audio question in.
Is there any way I could feel less guilty after an argument?
Oh, yeah, I second that.
So I think guilt as an emotion serves a purpose and a function, as all emotions do. And it's always like the lady who, you know, saying, I feel really bad after, you know, shouting with my children. But if we come at this with curiosity and a bit of compassion and go, okay, so why did I lose it? Had I said the same thing 100 times? Had people been ignoring me? But what was underneath that for me? So you're taking responsibility of, am I feeling unheard, unseen, kind of doing the same thing over and over again? But with guilt, it's to ask yourself the question, have I done something wrong? And if you have, yeah, take responsibility, genuinely apologise, and it's up to the other person and how they receive that. But then also there is a part where you go, I'm going to try and do it again. Like, I think we have a really funny narrative around conflict. Like, couples often say to me, like, we never fight, but I would not, as a psychologist, think that was a good thing. Mm. Because it is really important to be able to voice and feel safe.
And how you feel.
How you feel, or if something's happened that upsets you. So I actually think the health kind of thermometer of your relationship is if you can actually be honest about how you really feel. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I don't feel as bad now. I hope my husband's listening to this.
Yeah, but it is true though. Like, you know, like if like one person said there, you know, they mightn't actually find it easier with one person. I think he was saying his mom. But perhaps that's because if he's done that before and it hasn't been heard, or it's been dismissed, or there was an angry response, you learn there isn't any point in doing this. And actually, that can be actually a healthier thing to do sometimes as well.
Well, definitely we're going to have you back in again, because there's so many questions coming in. So it's definitely a hot topic. Thank you so much, Alison Keating, coming in. And for all of her great advice, you can follow Alison on Instagram at The Practical Psychologist. So that's at The Practical Psychologist.